It's your show, and you can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231 as we're launching into hour number two. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, we give them away. That's, once again, freetalklive.com. So, as always, lots to talk about here tonight on the program. Your calls are primary, if you make them, about anything that you want. But I found another story, Mark, about one of my favorite topics.
Oh, no.
Pack rats.
You do like that, don't you?
If a pack rat story pops up in the news, I'm attracted to it. Because I just find these people absolutely fascinating.
Well, I'm one of them to some extent.
You are not.
I'm not one of these crazy people that saves everything, including, like, trash.
Well, that's what a pack rat is.
Spoiled milk. No, that's what the people that are, at the far end of the pack rats spectrum.
It's true. Everybody has, they hoard to some extent. Everyone does.
Right.
But there's a certain level at where there's a certain point at which it becomes dangerous to your health.
Yes, there is.
And according to ABC News, we're all pack rats to some degree. We hoard, collect, and buy more stuff than we have room to store. And I also, by the way, want to know if you know a pack rat. Maybe your mom or dad were pack rats. Maybe your best friend is a pack rat. If you've got a pack rat story, 1-800-259-9231. All right, we've got actually Michael Zwirling back. We're going to take
really?
The opportunity to get him back on here and come back on the air with him, even though we're in hour number two. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, hey, so I'm excited about the talking about the fairness doctrine anyhow. So what do you guys think?
Quick recap, since we're in hour number two, we've got new audience in here. So Michael Zwirling, you're the general manager, the owner of KSCO Radio, out on the West Coast in Santa Cruz, California. And we're doing a little bit of experimental radio tonight. You're on the air on the West Coast. We're on the air here on the East Coast and on our affiliates, and we're together on the air right now. And we were going to get into the fairness doctrine. And so I wanted to ask you, since we were discussing it in hour number one, this concept that the FCC, where they mandated for decades, apparently from the very genesis of the FCC, for decades, that talk hosts or anybody who airs a political opinion must essentially get the opposing view, or at least give the opposing view, someone who represents that, the opportunity to speak on their airwaves. And it's just a disgusting affront to freedom of speech. And now they're talking about bringing it back.
Yeah. Let's see. It was in the 80s that it was dropped under the Reagan era. And I wasn't really paying too much attention to that. When I got in the radio business in 1991...
Okay, so you just missed it.
Pardon me?
You just missed out on it then.
Right. But I've always operated my station as if the fairness doctrine was in effect. But but it's my choice. It's not mandated by the government. See, that's
when you say
dare the government try to legislate something like that?
Sure,
that really bothers me.
When you say you operate your station in that way, what do you mean?
We came up with a statement, a motto, a slogan. Finally, a voice for everyone, and we've used that slogan for many years. And we would always encourage persons from all points of view. In fact, we had a disclaimer that we used to use at the beginning of each of our talk show. Following program is the opinions of the participants only, and
sure.
You know, please help. Please, if you hear something with which you disagree, please call to help us balance comment.
Oh, absolutely. It's one thing to encourage debate, and that's what we do on Free Talk Live. I love it when people with opposing views call in.
Sure.
But it's another thing where the government says, oh, well, Michael, anytime you say anything on the air that could offend somebody else, you have to contact that person or his representatives and give them a week's time to call in and send them a transcript also of what you said. I mean, that's a lot more restrictive.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, and I am concerned that with the Dems in power now, that it could come back.
If it comes back, I would love to see the talk radio business take a stand against this law. And I understand that it's going to be the GMs.
Don't worry, and it will.
Well, I understand that it's going to be the GMs and the owners that are on the line as far as the responsibility for whatever fines would be levied for any performer that violates this. But I hope that people like you, Michael, will have the courage to essentially stand behind their shows, their show hosts, and say, you know what, forget this fairness doctrine. We don't care if you passed a law about it. We aren't going to play ball.
Yeah. I will probably be one of those people. That you would like.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, then, you're a good guy in my book, Michael, and this has been an interesting experiment here tonight. Was there anything you wanted to cover with us? Because I sort of jumped us into the fairness doctrine thing.
Yeah, not really. You know, I hope to have some time to listen more to you guys here so we can sort of mutually benefit each other, you know. So.
Well, as you know, we've got Archive. I know you're on the air at the same time we are, but you can always listen to Archives later on at freetalk.com.
I'm only on these 2 days, you know, because we're launching a new whole drive time thing starting on Monday, so I'm doing the honors right now. But I got to run because they're calling me.
Very good.
Thanks.
Have fun, Michael.
Take care.
Thanks, dude. Bye-bye. 800-259-9231, little experimental radio.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
All right, so we were talking about pack rats. We're going to get into that here in moments. Brett in Iowa, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Brett. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to apologize in advance for stealing from you guys.
Stealing?
Both of you, yeah. I applied for financial aid for college. I got accepted to Iowa State, and it's something that I really want to do, but, to be able to afford it, there's really no other way for my family to be able to do it, so.
What are you going to school for, if we might ask?
I manage an information system as a major, so. It's
computers?
Like,
is that databases?
It's basically a business degree, but it has computer science mixed into it. So basically, I'll be the guy like running the IT department. It's kind of what it is. I don't do a whole lot of the geeky stuff.
I see. So you won't be a programmer. You'll be more of a manager of programmers.
Exactly.
Now,
so.
Brett, when I think about government aid and programs and all that stuff, I wouldn't take unemployment simply because it's too much work. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know how to do it, and I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take welfare. I wouldn't take food stamps. I wouldn't take all kinds of government employment out there. But if I was 18 years old, I think I would take the Pell Grant, simply because government has made it impossible for you to get a college education otherwise.
It's true, but...
Not impossible. Difficult.
That's not really... To me, I still feel bad about it, you know? It's not a justification. I try to live my life without any type of government help. I don't need help from those scumbags. But, you know, I guess the other way I can look at it as, you know, I've paid so much into this freaking system that
it's
I can take some back out. So.
You could look at it that way, and I would totally understand. When I went to college, I wasn't as principled as I am today, and I had... my community college paid for by the little Florida Academic Scholars Program or whatever too. So essentially, and that wasn't that wasn't a loan. That was essentially a grant. And a Pell Grant isn't a grant. It's a loan, isn't it?
It's a loan. But so I guess I'm paying it back. But
I thought the Pell Grant was a grant.
I'm pretty sure it's a loan. It's like a loan that has a really low interest rate, as far as I know.
Why would they call the Pell Grant a loan?
They're granting you a low interest rate.
That seems strange.
I don't know.
An extra market interest rate that is supported by subsidy and taxpayer dollars. Well, you know, good luck, Brett, with your college career. And when you get done, hopefully we'll see you in New Hampshire.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call. 800. You know what? At least he apologized for stealing the money. 1-800-259-9231 is the packet8.net toll-free line. In fact, we were talking a little while ago about colleges and if they or if they aren't worthwhile anymore. The statistics show that 50% of people that do go to college, I don't know, was it 50%? There's a significant chunk of people that go to college that really, they'd have been better off had they just not gone and taken out those loans and gotten into the debt that they got into. They'd have been better off if they'd taken that money and put it into an interest-bearing account or put it into investments, that sort of thing. And then the question came up, I think, at that time as to whether or not the high school diploma was really even worth getting, because we had somebody call in and they were talking about possibly dropping out of high school and getting their GED. And I think we both sort of encouraged that move. They were in their senior year when they called in. It was like halfway through the senior year. His mom was on his side. She wanted him to drop out and get the GED. And Nigel from Texas emails, and he says, in regards to getting out of high school, I'm a freshman at Cornell, but I don't have a high school diploma. I decided senior year of high school wasn't going to do anything for me, emailed the colleges I was interested in, and got into Cornell early decision. High school diplomas are by no means necessary.
Wow.
From Nigel. 800-259-9231. Pack rats on the way. Do you know one? Are you one? Share your story. It is Free Talk Live. How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to packet8.net or call 1-866-TRY-VOIP. That's packet8.net or 1-866-TRY-VOIP. DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0230 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0230. 1-800-322-0230.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. Is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. It is the packet8.net toll-free line for you, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Hey, who's the most pro-liberty individual in the United States Congress? Many people would say that it's Ron Paul, and I'd agree. Register now for the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, February 23rd through the 25th, to meet presidential candidate and Congressman Ron Paul, also known as Dr. No in Congress, because he votes no on virtually everything that comes across his desk that is unconstitutional.
I love that nickname.
And other influential people who support your freedom. So get registered at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. That is freestateproject.org/libertyforum. So, once again, getting into the pack rat issue. Do you know a pack rat? Were you raised with parents who were pack rats? Were your friends' parents pack rats? Are you a pack rat? Maybe it's hard to admit, but you can probably tell you're a pack rat if you take a look around the room that you're standing in right now, or maybe the car you're driving in. And if there's crap everywhere, there's a good chance you're a pack rat. According to ABC News, we're all pack rats to some degree. We hoard, collect, and buy more stuff than we have room to store. But what if something in our brains made us incapable of throwing things out? Jane Aloka and Lorraine Brennan both suffer from a psychological disorder called compulsive hoarding, an urge to hold on to even the most mundane objects, even when they take over their lives. Lorraine Brennan has been hoarding for nearly 20 years. She lives in a two-story house in Massachusetts with her father, son, and fiancé. Most rooms in the house are cluttered, and some are even unusable. The bedroom office that she shares with her fiancé is overrun with stuff they tried unsuccessfully to get rid of at a yard sale. Lorraine's purse is bursting with junk mail and receipts. Brennan's hoarding is not only ruining her life, but affecting her entire family. Her son can't bring friends home from school. Brennan and her fiancé, it's probably not because he's embarrassed, but that may be a factor.
They
just don't have room. Brennan and her fiancé have been engaged for 8 years, but he hasn't been able to commit to marrying her because of the clutter. Many hoarders are also compulsive shoppers. Janie, now that's something I didn't know, but it makes sense, I guess. Janie Aloka has accumulated so much stuff that she uses her own house as a storage facility and lives with her mother.
Oh, my God.
I remember collecting and keeping and hoarding things since I can remember, said Aloka. And now I'm just living around the piles and piles that I need to get rid of. I have so much stuff in my house that it's totally unlivable, she continued. There's no place to sit down. I can't even get to the kitchen. I can't have anyone over for tea, even though I have everything for tea. My collecting...
I've got three sets.
My collecting is taking up space where I would normally live. There's a fine line between simple clutter and extreme hoarding. Most hoarders, observers say, are physically incapable of throwing things out. They can't live in or use rooms like the kitchen for their intended use. They also experience extreme distress from their condition. For instance, my girlfriend, his parents were hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
And they stored things in the oven.
Interesting.
There were constantly things on the kitchen table. You couldn't eat on the table.
Now, my mother stored things inside the oven, too.
Really?
But it was sort of she used it as a cabinet. So she would put the cereal boxes in there, and I think that she felt that it kept them slightly fresher. So
okay.
The cereal boxes went in the oven, but they were on top of a baking pan. And so when you wanted to use the oven,
she had space on her counters?
Yes.
Okay. The hoarding is currently considered a subset of obsessive-compulsive disorder, but that might soon change. New research is finding that hoarding might be a unique disorder completely separate from OCD. Dr. David Tolan, director of the Anxiety Disorders Center at the Institute of Living in Hartford, has devoted his career to studying what goes on inside the mind of a hoarder. He said, quote, "At the moment, compulsive hoarding hasn't been fully defined by the psychiatric and psychological communities. One of the things that we wanted to do was understand some of the brain mechanisms behind compulsive hoarding." Now, Ms. Aloka is part of a study that Tolan's conducting to see which part of a hoarder's brain become active when they're faced with making decisions. She is hooked up to a brain scan machine and asked to look at pieces of her mail and decide whether she wants them to be thrown out. She must then watch the mail get shredded. At this point, two parts of a hoarder's brain become active. The brain's orbitofrontal cortex is involved in decision-making and causes a hoarder to process this experience as a punishing one. At the same time, the hippocampus of a hoarder actively searches for memories about the object. The hoarder tries to remember the object, what it is, and why they saved it in the first place. By contrast, people without hoarding problems just don't think about the object that much. What we find is that the brain is acting very, very differently when a person hoards, says Tolan. When the person's trying to make a decision about what to throw away, it seems that the person who is hoarding is processing this activity as if it's deeply punishing. The person who hoards is going through a very, very effortful search of their memory to try to think of as many things as they can about this item before they make the decision. What this all amounts to, then, is a painful and effortful process of decision-making that you and I might just take for granted. I mean, when we get a bunch of mail in at the mailbox, Mark, it's easy for us to just flip through it and say, junk, 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 and toss it in the garbage.
I think I have this a little bit, and I must say that there's if I find something that I think is redeeming about the piece of mail, mm-hmm. I'll hold on to it for a long time, expecting
really?
To do something with this piece of paper. Now, I do have a...
After you've opened it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
This is... Now, I do have... I've developed a new mental illness that kind of combats this. I now take everything that will burn and put it in my wood stove. So I can recycle it. Because, you know, obviously paper doesn't... No, it's not obvious. People don't know this. Hey, they're lying to you about paper recycling. Paper, no. You don't recycle that crap, because all it does is,
It creates more pollution to recycle paper.
It creates all kinds of pollution. Bleach, you know, used to bleach out the paper and that kind of thing.
So you're keeping yourself warm.
Yeah, I recycle it by burning it.
In Beth Johnson's Clutter Workshop in Hartford, hoarders and clutterers practice throwing out possessions they've grown attached to. Johnson also takes her clients on non-shopping or non-acquiring trips to teach them how not to buy things they don't need. And man, that really must be a problem, because there are certainly, I think there are people that have addictions to shopping that aren't necessarily hoarders, but imagine having both. Imagine having an addiction to shopping and a hoarding problem.
Well, that's one problem I don't have, is I don't like to go shopping.
Addictions, yeah. That's good. Johnson said, I try to help them see the larger picture and how this item won't fit into their life. If you have a jam-packed house, if you're adding to it on a weekly or daily basis, you're basically defeating yourself. Professor of psychology at Smith College in Massachusetts also helps focus on hoarders making their homes clutter-free. He says one of the things we know about hoarding is that the beliefs people have about their possessions are so powerful that it's very difficult to get them out of this behavior. He's the author of the upcoming book, Buried in Treasures. If the person throws something away and experiences distress and does it again and again, eventually they won't have that extreme emotional response throwing something away. Frost held a one-on-one session with Brennan to see if he could help her. After a few hours, she was able to throw away receipts and a few pieces of junk. But, as with most hoarders, there's still a long road ahead.
Do you see how the IRS fits into this?
I don't know.
Well, the IRS makes you hold on to receipts.
Mm.
As a matter of fact...
They're encouraging it.
From what I understand, the IRS doesn't even accept a credit card bill as a proper receipt. You actually have to have the actual receipt from the purchase. I don't do that. When I write them off, I use the credit card bill. If you don't like it, tough. But
one major motivator for Brennan is the possibility of losing her fiancé if she doesn't clean up her home. When asked if she thought he would really leave, she said, I don't want to find out. I don't want to end my relationship. I want to do better. I want to make it work. I don't want to live like this anymore. I really don't. And you know, that's the first step towards making yourself better, is realizing you've got a problem. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live. Are you a hoarder?
It's no secret. Aluminum itself adversely affects the blood-brain barrier and is capable of causing DNA damage. Research has even shown that aluminum salts used in antiperspirants have detrimental effects. So why are you still using traditional deodorant? Well, there is an alternative, and it's called NoBO. NoBO eliminates the bacterial growth, which causes odor, and does not interfere with perspiration, which is important for allowing your body to expel toxins. There are no chemicals, aluminum, preservatives, or petroleum-based ingredients in NoBO. Just natural ingredients like grapeseed oil, arrowroot powder, silica, vitamin E, tea tree oil, and geranium. NoBO's job is to destroy the bacteria that causes the odor while soothing your skin. You can use NoBO under your arms, on tough foot odors, or for athlete's foot. NoBO is guaranteed 100% or receive a full refund. Visit no-bo.com to order. That's no-bo.com. Or call 850-723-8599.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to royalpurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high performance motor oil that outperforms. Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231, the pack at 8.net, toll-free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with
you. And Mark.
And you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. It's a place to go. All of the features you'll find are totally free. And that includes updates. You get signed up for the updates. We'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce. Get on the updates list for free at updates.freetalklive.com. Or you can go to freetalklive.com. There's a little entry box right there at the top of the page. Easy either way. Updates.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones, to the fun. We were talking about pack rats. Let's talk to John in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, guys.
Hey, John.
Hey, you put the word out. You wanted anybody that was a pack rat to call in.
Anyone who is or knows one, yes. Is that you?
And yes, I am one. And it occurred to me that there's probably a lot of people who are that don't even know they are.
Mm.
And there's others who are who wouldn't want to admit it. So I said, you know what? I am, and I'll call up with confessions of a pack rat. What do you want to ask me about?
Well, how bad is it? Are there paths in your home where you can't reach certain areas of your house?
No, there's not. And when you say how bad is it, I lived with my brother and two other guys for a while after my divorce. And my brother is a real stickler for everything needs to be in its place. And he's not a pack rat at all, which is funny for two brothers growing up in the same home.
Right.
But I can tell you one thing. I have no bugs. I don't do dirty stuff. I have piles of stuff, but I don't get dirty. I don't leave trash around and anything like that.
One time
when my brother was really bitching at me, I opened the oven and I said, is this your thing from 3 days ago? Looks like there's four or a week or whatever the heck it was. I said, there's a little mold growing on that. That's kind of disgusting.
Ew.
You know, that was years ago.
Now, what do you say, John?
There's a big difference between being a pack rat and being dirty.
Absolutely,
there are no bugs in my stuff.
Now, what do you find yourself saving, though, John?
Oh, I have like 500 or more. I don't know, between 500 and 1,000 old records with a turntable.
Uh-huh.
Most of them I don't listen to.
Right.
Probably won't again. I have boxes of old documents that I just can't be bothered going through to, you know, most of that stuff these days needs to be shredded. You know, it would take some time.
What sort of documents are we talking about? Like old stuff from when you were in school? Or, I mean, how far back are we talking
about? Actually, the stuff from back in school, some old artwork that I used to do, I actually gave that to my daughter because at one point I was trying to clear some of it out. And I said, you know, a lot of this artwork, I have it in my head, and I don't need to be having it in a box at home. If you want to have it for whatever purpose, I'm not keeping it.
Is there sensitive information in there to where you couldn't just take the box of old papers? I mean, if you don't even know what's in the box and you haven't looked in the box for, you know, 5 years, you probably won't ever need what's in that box. Isn't it possible for you to just take the box and drop it in the trash bin?
Yeah, I was wondering these days with the sensitivity of identity theft and that sort of stuff. I'm sure there's documents in there. Nothing that I really need.
You need a fire pit then.
Yeah, I was going to say, bring it over to
Mark's. Well, you know, as you were asking that, I was thinking maybe I should bring it to the bonfire when we go over to Jim and Lauren's.
It'll burn
nice.
Or
to Ed's place or something like that.
Exactly. It'll be therapeutic.
Yeah, but I also have guitars. I also have a banjo. I don't even play that.
Right.
I've got the other funny thing, I have this two-bedroom condo that I'm renting.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved in here just short of a year ago, it's the first time I had this weird rule. This woman's really crazy. She does not want anything nailed to the walls, which I can understand that. Having owned a place, you don't want people to go crazy.
Sure.
She does not want any nails in the walls at all. So my pictures are kind of stacked up. So it makes me feel a little more confined and a little more like a pack rat because I actually have these really nice pictures that are sitting on the floor.
That's a bad idea, though. As a landlord, I've done that, and what you're going to end up telling people that they can't have nails in the wall, they're going to stick things to the wall with tape, and tape will rip drywall. You'd rather have it. It's a heck of a lot easier to put a little finger full of spackle over a hole than it is to fix a big rip in the paper of the drywall.
It seems to me like it's nuts, but it's her rule,
and I agree
to the rules.
Yeah.
I have these framed pictures sitting either at floor level or up on top of a table or that sort of thing.
Now,
really
so far,
weird,
John.
So it really makes you feel a little more of a pack rat than I might. Like I said, I've downsized a bit.
Right. I haven't seen pictures of your place, but judging on what you've said so far, you sound more to me like a collector than a pack rat. Like, pack rats, I mean, the worst of the worst, pack rats, they have little, like, rat paths that they can walk through to get to certain places in their homes, and there's just stuff everywhere.
I disagree. I think a pack rat's anybody who keeps more crap than they need, and that a compulsive hoarder is what you're talking about, Ian.
More than you have room for. Can you recall the guy David Souter? There's a name that might come to mind. He's a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was nominated to the Supreme Court, one of the things that they said that the guy was really weird, and it was in the press, because the press went in and looked at his place, they said they had pathways. Or he had pathways. Because I guess he lives alone, and he's, you know, tons of books and papers and everything. They said he had pathways in his place between documents that
that's
he could read.
That's the worst.
All that sort of fun stuff.
That's the worst.
It's fun, but like I said, I don't keep trash around. Trash goes out. You know, regularly, daily.
Yeah, I was actually surprised at the ABC News article this time around, because we did a pack rat story last year, and they were talking about a lady that kept a cardboard box with rat droppings in it just because she couldn't bring herself to throw it away. I mean,
that's insanity.
Yeah, that's just
the extreme. Insanity. I've read stories of people that, like, collect paper bags or, you know, just weird, like...
Right. Now, with a record collection, you could say, well, I love LPs. I want to have this old record collection so I can maybe sell it down the line, make a little bit of money off of it or something like that. I think there's a difference between being a collector and a pack rat. I think pack rats are people that just take whatever crap they come across and put it somewhere.
String. When you say pack rats, I think of the extreme. And like I said, I'm not the extreme. But I thought you probably won't get that many confessions, so I thought I would call. But I've read stories of people that will not throw away elastics, paper clips, they just keep
right.
everything. And some of it I can understand because, you never know when you might need that little bit of string or that elastic.
Well,
where is it?
But the problem is, the problem comes in when you can't find it because you've got so much crap.
But the pack rats know. They know where the stuff is, from what I understand.
That's another funny thing that, you know, when you read these stories, it's, you know, they say that some of these people, they know where everything is.
It's hard to believe, but they claim it. And I believe they put them to the test a couple times.
Yeah, and they can find things quicker because they've done these studies, and they say, you know, even looking for a document in a pile of, like this Souter guy, when he goes looking for a document, he knows where it is.
It's amazing.
Funny stuff.
It must be the other side.
I just figured he probably wouldn't get too many calls that are going to admit it. So.
John, thank you for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. It must be the fact that a pack rat can find something in all of their crap must be the other side of how that disease manifests itself. Like, the negative side being you keep a bunch of crap all over your house. The positive side being you actually have the ability to totally compartmentalize where everything is.
Well, the problem comes in when you have other human beings that live with you.
Yes.
Like I said, I've got this to some minor extent, and man, I get so upset when my wife goes through some stuff and straightens it out,
something?
Moves something, throws something away.
Mm.
I go out of my mind, and I, you know, which,
what are you doing?
It's bad news when something gets moved, and I expect it to be in that spot.
You know, it's good. It's a good thing that you live with somebody because that probably helps keep it in check to some extent.
I would imagine that's true.
I remember I was. It was at Christmas time recently, not this year, but about a year ago. My uncle had been apparently smoking some crack, as we discovered down the line. I didn't know it at the time.
Oh, that's very interesting.
He was, I thought he was acting kind of funny at the Christmas get-together. And I just thought it was because he was wasted. Like, I just thought he just had way too much to drink.
You know, you don't think of crackheads going to the Christmas get-together.
No, he was there.
Okay.
And he was talking about, sort of just babbling about how he loves to just sort of meander through his home, because he lives alone, which is full of crap. And he loves to just meander through his home and get lost in his things. Just walk around and
strange thing to say.
Look at things in his house. Okay. 800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. On the way, your emails, your calls about anything. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery, and Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Attention, attention everyone! A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine, Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Wright discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up anything toll-free at 800-259-9231. The pack at 8.net. Toll-free line for you. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features we give them away. Though we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by voting for us. If you head over to vote.freetalklive.com, you can cast your digital ballot for Free Talk Live. It'll take you less than a minute. It makes a big difference for us because it helps keep us in the top 10 podcasts of the world. And thanks to those of you who have gone and voted this month, it's a once-a-month process. So if you've yet to do it in January, go ahead and get your vote in now. It's still not too late. Vote.freetalklive.com. Well, apparently the state of New Jersey, Mark, hasn't quite regulated everything yet.
not yet.
But they're getting there. New Jersey, according to WCBS Radio, may have unresolved problems with taxes, child welfare, and gangs, but lawmakers are ready to crack down on one perceived danger. Talking on a cell phone while riding a bike. A legislative committee has actually approved a bill that would make it illegal for people to use a handheld telephone while riding a bicycle on a public road.
Oh, boy.
Hands-free devices would be allowed, and lawbreakers would face fines ranging from $100 to $250. Assemblyman John Brannick, a bill sponsor, said the measure is meant to protect bicyclists and the people that they might strike while riding and yakking at the same time. So, I guess it's okay to, in their mind, it's going to be okay to take the phone from wherever it is, plug your handset or your headset into it, and dial the phone while riding your bicycle, but actually holding it up to your head is going to be the violation of the law.
Okay, so you can use the headset?
You can use a headset.
Now, this is what... You know, they've done studies, and you're just as distracted with the headset in as with the as using the handset. It's not like
it's the conversation.
Right. It's not like lifting your arm to your ear suddenly causes you to be distracted. It's the conversation, and you know, it scares me because then what comes next? Are they going to outlaw the headsets talking on the phone? Period. If so, then what? Is it going to be listening to the radio or touching the radio? Touching the radio while driving. While the car is in motion, you may not touch the radio. Kids in the back seat. Children must be silent while in the back seat.
Right. No turning around.
Drivers must be in a clear plexiglass cube while in the car so no one can talk to them.
Drivers must not turn their head any more than 90 degrees to each side from the straight ahead.
Yeah, it distracts. I know my uncle got a ticket one time for eating a cheeseburger while driving.
Wow.
Because he didn't have both hands on the wheel. I generally drive with one hand on the wheel. Sometimes I have both, but so what?
Now, I understand where they're coming from in that talking on a cell phone while being on a bicycle certainly seems to be a little bit more, as far as risk is concerned, risky than a car. Because at least in a car, you can sort of, you can use your knees to hold the steering wheel. On a bicycle, your legs are in motion, and you've got to have at least one hand on the handlebars. So having another hand away doing something else certainly seems dangerous. But if someone wants to take that risk, I think that should be incumbent on them. If they do damage, they should be responsible for that damage, and that should be where it ends. We don't need to have bike cops out chasing people down because they've got a phone to their ear.
Well, the enforcement of your rule can get a little difficult. Suppose I run into somebody and hurt them mm-hmm. while I'm on the bicycle. I think it seems unlikely. Bicycle accidents with pedestrians have got to be pretty rare. But suppose that it's done. Then I have no license plate on my bicycle. Mm-hmm. So if I decide to hit and run, as it were, I'm going to run at 20 or 30 miles an hour. But so I get on my bike and I pedal away. Well, the pedestrian can't catch me.
Right.
And
they could shoot you.
Assuming they were armed, and I suppose that's probably their only recourse, because if they call a cop, assuming they have a cell phone handy, they call a cop, the cops aren't going to be there in time to catch the runaway bicyclist.
No.
I'm going to be gone, and essentially there's a guy on a red bicycle. He's white, and he has brown hair, mm-hmm. and he just hit me, and my leg is broken.
Mm.
I mean, just enforcement is difficult.
It sure is. In that case, are you advocating for license plates on bicycles?
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for anything. I'm just telling you that there's some problems
with
enforcement.
Oh, well, because you support license plates on cars, why not support license plates for bicycles?
I don't have
the same reason.
I don't have a problem.
You should be consistent in your tyranny.
I don't have a problem with license plates. You know, it's the government's road. I'll admit that there's a lot of problems with it, but it's the government's road, and if they want you to have a license plate on your car to drive on
government sidewalks.
Yeah.
So what if they want to have license plates for bicycles now?
I'm not for it.
This would be, this could be the first of many regulations to control out-of-control bicyclists. Anyway, the fines could range from $100 to $250. The assemblyman says it's meant to protect you, bicyclist. Quote, that is, in our judgment, a danger to pedestrians as well as to the bicyclists themselves due to the fact that they now have one hand on the handlebars, they're talking to someone, and they're on a public highway.
Now, I've got to say that riding a bike with a cell phone has to be a really windy experience.
Right. How you could even have a conversation.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like this is a problem that takes care of itself.
That's what I would think, but somebody introduced this bill because they perceived it as a problem. The bill among six... Oh, my gosh. The bill among 6,928 bills introduced this session by New Jersey lawmakers was given a nod Thursday. Get out of that state. Gosh, if you're somebody that even loves liberty a little bit, what are you doing there? It was given the nod Thursday by an assembly public safety panel and can now be considered by the full assembly. The Senate has taken no action on the idea. The owner of Knapp's Cyclery says it's a waste of time. The store takes people out on weekly group rides, and Garrett said he can't recall anyone talking on a cell phone while riding a bike. He says, I wouldn't say it's a problem. You can't breathe and talk. It's absolutely ridiculous. In 2005, 784 people were killed, including 17 in New Jersey, and 45,000 were injured in bicycle crashes in the United States, accounting for 2% of traffic fatalities, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. An agency spokesbureaucrat said no statistics are kept for crashes involving cell phones and bikes, probably because there aren't any.
Statistics or the crashes?
The crashes.
No, there are crashes. There are probably not a lot of... two-party crashes. I mean, bicycles hit the ground, hit things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't usually hit people, generally. I mean, usually if you on a bike, you're nimble enough that if you see the opportunity to hit somebody, you're going to hit
something else. Yeah.
You know, you're going to run into a hedge, you're going to drive off the side of the road.
So if you've got a cell phone in your hand, you can't ring the little bell on your handle.
Ding, ding,
ding, ding. Bramnick admitted that he also has no data on injuries caused by distracted riders. He called the cell phone biking bill a common-sense proposal. Based on observations he and others have made in the more densely populated communities, not all legislators are eager to support the measure. Quote, as my father used to tell me, you can't legislate common sense. And that's exactly what this bill tries to do, as the legislature has already tried to do on so many other occasions, says another representative. Both the person who sponsored the bill and the person who's opposing it here are both Republicans, by the way. Is anyone dumb enough to use a cell phone in a dangerous manner while riding a bicycle? really is going to be smart enough to know about or pay attention to some legislator's new law? Seems unlikely to me. I think he's right about that.
Yeah, I would agree.
It was unclear Friday whether legislators might take more action on the bill or when they would take up other proposals offered by lawmakers. Those included declaring September Hand-Washing Awareness Month. This is one of the 6,928 laws that they're potentially going to pass.
I think
amazing.
There should be awareness about hand-washing, but I don't think I want our politicians spending any other time on it.
A whole month of the year dedicated to making you aware of washing your hands. What does that tell you about the people in New Jersey? Apparently there's an epidemic of people not washing their hands in Jersey.
No.
I guess it makes sense. It's the garbage state after all.
Please. It's the same in New Jersey as it is in any place else. The legislators are just out of control there.
Yeah, they really are. I wonder if we went around the country and looked at the statistics. I don't know if anyone's ever done this, but looked at the statistics on a state-by-state basis. And I understand population would probably be a factor. It might have to be done on a per capita sort of calculation. But
yep.
How many bills per capita are they introducing in each state? Like here in New Hampshire, I think it's like 900. In New Jersey, 6,900. In other states, who knows? California, I can only imagine. New York State, probably a large amount. What states have the highest incidences of new legislation?
I would say the largest ones.
True, but on a per capita basis, I wonder what the answers would be.
I don't know.
800-259-9231 allows you to take control of the airwaves. David, I think, emails in. He says, I've been listening to your show for some time. Except for your harsh view of Christianity, I really enjoy your show. By the way, we're not harsh towards all Christians, just towards the Pharisees, the ones that want to force their way on others. The rest of them, I'm cool with.
Well, we aren't big fans of religion in general. I mean, we think that the idea is that you are an atheist and I believe that there's a God of some sort, but neither one of us are fans
You're
of
a deist, right?
You know, it's difficult to put some kind of label. Deist is fine. But, you know, I just basically believe there's a God.
He says, I really enjoy your show. Been thinking about the possibilities lately. You were talking about how the government would not move in to arrest a couple of tax protesters until they've waited out most of their supporters. He says, what chance does a voluntary organization have against a violent one? We'll explore that on the way in hour number three. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free packet8.net line for you. Hour three's coming up. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live, so you take control of the airwaves.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.